This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
BlackBerry is over. No kidding, but we're just getting started here on post-show recaps. Pusher Grips Theater, actually. My name is Grace, but of course I'm not alone. Just let me BBM Messenger, my co-host, to see if he's in. I'm just going to ping him. Are you there, Ariel?
It's me, Margaret. Yes, it's me, Ariel. Who gave you my BBM code? Because I don't know if you remember, for you kids out there, the BBM pin that you had, which was a thing that you had to have before you communicated with another person, was like an alphanumeric, like six to seven digit code that was unique to every person.
Ooh, let me just give you, I'm A4BQT78.
I'm BB Can 67.
That's weird. Mine is LGBTQ plus. That's weird.
A++. Our new streaming service.
I would love a streaming service called LGBTQ plus. In our podcast, who's the Jim Basile and who's the Mike Lazaridis? Which one is?
Oh God.
Who's the geeky tech bro and who's the big business? Who's big business in our?
Well, I don't know about big business, but I just know I'm probably the one that yells more. So
you are always trying to buy a hockey team. Like every time I'm on the phone, you're like trying to buy the Ottawa Senators.
Consulting you, Grace, as the Canadian. I'm like, do I need to know this team? Do I care about this team?
Because can I move them to Hamilton? Can I do that?
Better than Canadians? Can I move them from Ontario? No, that's a misspeak.
No,
from Toronto to Montreal. I'm sure
that'd be good. Yeah, move the Toronto Maple Leafs out of Toronto. We're talking BlackBerry, a very Canadian movie, Ariel, mostly centered on the town of Waterloo, Ontario, Canada, which we'll get into. But I kind of gave this movie some shade last week. I think we were talking about, like, I don't know what we're gonna do next week. Like, I don't know, there's nothing really. And do you know what? To be honest, I knew BlackBerry was getting some buzz and attention, but I kind of thought that that was just a Canadian thing. This is like a fully Canadian movie made by Canadian, like a big, this is how it works in Canada. You need like seven Canadian companies to be like, yeah, well, we could try to make a movie. Yeah. Like CBC and like all this, you know, the government of Ontario probably. So like, I just thought it was like Canadian buzz and that Americans wouldn't be interested. But then you were like, I think maybe we need to cover BlackBerry. Because not only is it getting buzz, it also is pretty good.
It was getting good reviews. It was like barely on my radar. I'll be honest. Like I saw it pop up.
Is that anything?
BlackBerry. Hold on. I'm getting a buzz on my BlackBerry. Oh, hold on. Oh, wait. No, hold on. That's just my vape pen. I saw it. Honestly, I saw it pop up on like one of my movie ticket buying apps. Yeah. Like, oh, that's coming out. Oh, I guess they're showing it at this theater. And it was the kind of movie that I didn't think they would be showing at certain theaters.
I thought I was going to have to trek to get to this movie. But no.
Yeah. And I asked you. Yes, I remember this now. I asked you, like, are they showing that near you? Like,
but yeah, they're showing it everywhere in Canada.
And that's when I found out that it was actually a Canadian movie. Yeah. So, in fact, every theater in Canada is required to show it, according to Grace, who makes all the rules about movies in Canada.
I was explaining, you were in Toronto last week with lots of RHAP.
What a whirlwind.
And I was explaining to people about CanCon. I don't know if people know about CanCon, but the Canadian government, we're so overshadowed by the American entertainment industry. We watch all American shows, right? Like, there's not really
a lot of people and are so, unfortunate.
Yeah. And so there's a few rules and regulations. Actually, there's some legislation happening right now, which I think is actually kind of interesting, but that radio and network TV have to air a certain percentage of Canadian made content. The radio has to be like something like 30% or 40%. So it's very funny. I remember talking to Lindsay Wilson about this. We're like, we'll be like, yeah, this hit song, you guys have never heard it. And it's only because like it was a hit in Canada because we were required to listen to Canadian music. So yeah. Anyway, so I don't know if this is CanCon. This is CanCon, but No, I don't know.
CanCon, do people call it CC or does that get confusing with email? Oh, I'm sorry. If you don't know what email is.
In Canada, we don't have email. CanCon is already short for Canadian content. We don't need to shorten it again, you know?
We need to CC someone else on this email and see if we can get a better
Trudeau, Justin Trudeau. I'll message. Let's I'll BBM him.
That ish. Yeah. True, though. Anyway.
But yeah, this BlackBerry. Movie. Did you like it? Did you like this movie?
I
no spoilers.
Really, really enjoyed it. Can I keep this like pregnant pause going for longer?
Yes.
I super enjoyed it. Like I said, I had seen some buzz. Obviously, they were showing in a couple of theaters that I was surprised about, like I said. And then I saw some really positive articles. And then I think it was Vulture had a sub headline, like, needs best to be seen to be believed. Yeah. I was like, oh, well, I'm about to see it then because I would like to believe. And, you know, there is that interesting thing just from the outside. There's a... Glenn Howerton III is his full name, apparently.
Wow.
Who has hair, but in this movie has like a donut. I don't know what you would call that, where it's like bald on top, but just on the sides.
Yeah.
Sideburns. And Jay Baruchel.
Baruchel, come on, Canadian hero. Yes.
Two people who, like, you've seen, if you don't know them by name, you probably had my reaction of like, oh, I've seen these people before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know their names, but I have positive associations with their acting abilities. But can they keep a movie going? And the answer is yes. Not a company, not a cell phone company, I guess. Spoiler alert.
They can't do that.
But a movie, absolutely. It was so much fun. I would say you've probably seen the royal you, have probably seen this movie before in the sense of like the structure of it and kind of the genre. You know, it's like a high stakes, you know, can this company get off the ground? There's like, it all takes place in first in like the late 90s and then into
mid to late 90s,
into like the like early thousands when BlackBerry was at its peak,
the early
and
aughts.
It was so much fun. Like, what I loved about it was it has so much momentum from the beginning and it has amazing characters. I would love to call out, where is he? Is it Dougie? Douglas?
Yes. Doug is played by Matt Johnson, who directed the movie.
Who directed the movie, I just found out live on the pod, is both the director and half of the screenplay writing. And no wonder, because arguably he's like, if not the heart of the movie, one of the hearts of the movie, I would say that his character, Matt Johnson's character, Doug, and Glenn Howerton's character are the two characters that were most important and were most entertaining and kind of gave the movie a lot of its energy. And it was such a blast. Like, it's 2 hours long, and you know me, you know us, I should say. Listeners know, we're like, give me a tight 90 or don't make me go to the movies ever.
People who love movies but also want movies to be shorter.
Make less TV movies. Shows.
Yeah.
2 hours. And it flew by for me. I was like, this is great. That's a great sign of anything.
Can I have a hot take that I really didn't like the Doug character? I really didn't like the Doug character at all.
Wow.
I mean, I thought the performance
I tried to make
was
a Doug
good
face when you said that.
And interesting.
Wow.
But I didn't like him. I'll get into it in the spoiler section.
Grace hates Canadians, confirmed.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. No, I mean, the thing that's so fun, I think probably for you and I, who like when I got my first full time job, they like handed me a BlackBerry. I'm like, here you go. And this was already pretty much like BlackBerry was out. Probably. Mm-hmm. I definitely didn't have a storm, which comes up at the end of the movie in terms of the thing that really like sinks their market share in terms of phones. But I got a BlackBerry. BlackBerries were the hot button. It was, you know, they I think there's a stat that is they had more market share at the time than Apple has ever had of the market share, which is fascinating to me. And it's such a short window. It is basically like 2000-ish to like 2008, I think, is like the last part of the movie.
Yeah, there were two highs as far as the stock. There was 2008. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, that's really it. And it will be a thing that in like, you know, 50 years, very few people will like remember the BlackBerry, you know? But it was huge, and it basically creates the smartphone. And then, you know, Apple goes and makes the iPhone based off of basically what the BlackBerry can do. It's the first device that's able to basically incorporate phone, email, and texting, which is just wild to think that we didn't have. Now literally everything is on my phone, like a calculator, you know, account, like everything right. is on our phone, and then every app.
What's but BlackBerry, a
calculator? Yeah, but black an abacus. but BlackBerry like dominated the point of there was a huge controversy about Barack Obama that he wanted to keep his BlackBerry and they weren't sure it was safe enough. And BlackBerry ultimately was able to prove that they were, you know, there's a whole plot in the movie about how safe the text messaging and encrypted nature. It's a big breakthrough as well.
The way the servers work and communication with each other, all that.
Yeah. So, but Barack Obama like had to like fight to keep his, he wanted to keep his BlackBerry.
He fought people. He punched people yeah. in the face.
And one thing I don't know that the movie definitely does like everybody wants a BlackBerry really well. The one thing I think is really interesting, I would recommend there's a podcast I listen to called Canada Land, which I think proves I don't hate Canadians, which I like. And it's a media sort of criticism podcast. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. They did an episode on BlackBerry because the BlackBerry movie was coming out. And one of the things they talked about was like, not only did BlackBerry just like become insanely popular, but it also changed like work culture. Like you could be working all the time, like you go home mm-hmm. on the, like previously you would go home
on
the ease
yeah. of working in the palm of your hand. Yeah,
you can always respond to email, to the point where there's actually legislation in many countries now that's actually trying to like roll back this cultural shift of like working all the time. Like I think it's one of the Nordic countries.
I was gonna say it sounds very Nordic.
It's illegal to message your employees after their like, you know, standardized work hours. So wow. we're actually trying to like claw back. But yeah, like I'm on vacation this week and I'm getting all my emails. And so like I'm seeing them, I'm trying not to respond to them, but it's really hard. Like I could like probably turn off my notification settings for the week, but like it's really hard. So I think the way that BlackBerry basically started that is, I think the movie doesn't really explore it, but it's really fascinating. But I really enjoyed this movie. I think it's worth checking out. I mean, if you can get to it in the theater, it's not a super theater movie, I think, in terms of like, do you have to see it in a movie theater? Probably not. You could probably yeah. watch it. But I mean, I love going to see a movie in the theater. And if you do as well, I think this is a good movie. So go check it out. If you like movies about smartphones, Harry.
If you don't like movies about dumb phones and you only want to see intelligent people and that's intelligent right. phones, then for sure this is the movie for you. I would agree with that last point. I think for sure it's a fun movie. It has the makings, or at least like some of the ingredients of what is kind of a heist movie, just as far as like yeah. some of the notes that it hits.
They're trying to like make sure that the technology can keep up with the demand. So there is this like tension.
Yeah, I guess that part of it is the heist. Yeah.
That's the heist. It's like, can we get away with it? Like just going,
changing the rules, or at least changing the way the devices have been used in the past. There are a lot of scenes with like, you know, Verizon boardrooms and things like that. But
the tech breakout scenes are, I think, really fun. They're really good when like they could, like, they're so smart that they like figure. Cause like as I was watching it, I was thinking there's moments in this movie where you're like, it's just wild to think that like that person in the room came up with something that has literally never been done. Like just like something that's never been done before, you know?
The iPhone, or the email, text, and email, text, and text message. No, email, text message, and phone.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's the all third thing? All in one. It was a thing that had been tried before, but they couldn't figure it out. And that's part of what like BlackBerry is able to figure out, the way to kind of like splinter the network in this way. But I have to just say very quickly, before I forget, because I honestly will not forgive myself if I don't say this, it reminded me so much, this movie, of Halt and Catch Fire, which is one of my all-time favorite shows. It takes place in the late 80s, you know, kind of into the 90s similarly. Some of the, like these music montage beats of like people in the room trying to solve tech problems, I'm like, oh my god, is this like a lost season of Halt and Catch Fire? It was working so well for me, the character dynamics, all that stuff. I mean, that might be probably
pace,
kind of like, you know, bled into that maybe in my brain. But for the dozens of you out there who might have seen that show and enjoyed that show, this might be something you enjoy as well.
You know what I think this movie is Mad Men meets The Office meets Silicon Valley. That's my like I'm gonna blend them all together.
Yeah, which in the end, I mean, in the very beginning, they were trying to market *Halt and Catch Fire* because it was also an AMC show
as *Mad Men*.
*Mad Men* in Silicon Valley, and it wasn't quite that. Although it grew to a little bit more between like *Mad Men* and *Breaking Bad*, if I'm being honest. But anyway,
I have one big nitpick about the movie, but I don't want to point it out in the spoiler-free section because I feel like it really bugged me. It's a thing that I say a lot about how I don't notice. Like the quality or do I care if it's an IMAX or not? Like, honestly, not really. And I don't want I'm worried that my brain will break one where I'll see it like an eye spy, you know, like the eyes when you see it. But the reverse is I won't be excited to see it. I'll be disappointed because now I'll always have to go to IMAX when there's not an IMAX near me.
Oh, no.
So I won't point it out yet, but I'm definitely going to complain about it in the back half. So should
Sounds
we do
like
it now?
We have to get the spoilers, yeah.
Okay. I don't think Dying I said this. Make sure you're subscribed before you leave. PostRecaps.com/movies. Well, if you didn't watch it, you know, we're going to spoil it. So
true.
Yeah.
Well, what was the website again?
PostRecaps.com/movies. Make sure you're subscribed to everything we are doing. Okay, let's spell the PSRT. Okay, so it's a, you know, dramedy comma. Jay Baruchel plays Mike Lazaridis. I don't know if I'm exactly saying that right, so I'm going to call him Mike moving forward.
Lazaridis, but yeah.
Lazaridis. He founded Research in Motion, aka RIM, with Doug Fran, played by Matt Johnson. And after an unsuccessful pitch of their Pocket Link, which is a device that will combine email to phone and not text yet. I don't think. I feel like it's anyway, it doesn't matter. To Jim Balsillie, who's played by Glenn Howerton, Jim offers to buy into the company, eventually investing $125 Canadian dollars. Yeah. By reinvesting his mortgage for a stake in the company. BlackBerry does, with the help of Jim's successful sales pitch, Mike and Doug are the tech people and Jim is the salesman. They revolutionize phones and essentially create the smartphone, incorporating email, text messaging, and phone into their devices. However, to make this work, Jim needs to start luring away the biggest engineers in North America from Google and all these other big tech companies to come to work in Waterloo, Ontario, Canada. But he does this by backdating stock options. So essentially saying, you can buy the stock when they were for a dollar rather than as it's grown now, which would be more expensive. We'll give you this stock at this price. So essentially he lures all these people for an exorbitant amount of money, which is illegal.
I didn't know that. I've done that a bunch. So I was freaking
got ya. This was a trap. I'm an FBI. I'm working for the SEC.
It's like jury duty. Everybody in the in the crowd.
Josh isn't real. It's been years.
It's all
down the, Josh is even lost. Down the hat. He hates lot. This is just to get you on backdating stock options.
The SEC never been more powerful.
Yeah. I think we lost a lot of money on this operation. So the worry is that the ever-increasing popularity of BlackBerry will overload wireless carrier system. There's a whole scene in the movie where Mike showcases this guy, another company, and we've been trying to build this, but it's not working. And Mike is did you just try to put it on the regular phone line? And they're yeah. And he's nope, wrong. You have to put it in a server in Waterloo, and it uses way less of the carrier data to be able to work. But the more smartphones that people want to use, they're going to overload the system and they'll have outages and then people won't want to use BlackBerry. And so Jim is pushing to build this huge company and basically being you have to figure out the tech. I'm going to just keep selling BlackBerry.
Sell.
They do this thing where they tell the marketing people you're male models now. So they're going to play tennis, but they're constantly on their BlackBerry, was a thing in terms of the talking about I don't feel like it was so much ooh, that guy's so hot that he has a, but it was be on your BlackBerry all the time.
Create that's demand, what it became. You know? That's what the culture became for sure. For those kinds of people in those industries. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so while Mike and Doug are pretty worried about this, Jim eventually pushes ahead, but ultimately the SEC sort of comes knocking on their door and Mike takes a deal to sort of sell out Jim and say that it was Jim's idea. Jim's many attempts to buy an NHL team all fall through. And in order to meet the demand of the new Blackberries, Rim outsources production to China, which Mike has always said, there's a piece at the beginning of the movie where Jim wants a prototype of the phone to go around and pitch. He's like, and it doesn't even need to work. Mm-hmm. And Mike is very proud of the fact that like he wants everything to work perfectly. And there's a whole bit where there's a little intercom speaker that Jim has in his office, but it buzzes all the time. There's this little buzz. It's because it's made in China. And so Mike obsesses over like, you need to put care into the product to make it work. It's just as important as like it being popular is that the thing works. So eventually, because they have so much demand, they end up outsourcing to China, and this like batch of BlackBerry Storms don't work. They pretty much all get returned and eventually sinks BlackBerry's market share. And they essentially are not a phone company anymore. In a like epilogue, we learn that Doug cashes out at a stock at the highest level of the stock, which is wild, in 2007. Mike, I think, is the head, the co-CEO of Rim until about 2012. Jim leaves, but he does not get arrested and he doesn't hold jail time because part of the text messaging of BlackBerry was that they're all encrypted and even BlackBerry couldn't read your text messages. And so all of the messages that he sent about backdating options, there are some obviously paperwork that got signed, but all the messages are encrypted by BlackBerry and he never serves jail time. And I think continues to be a businessman
to be himself. To make a lot of money.
So the rise and fall of BlackBerry, Ariel, that's basically the movie.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Did I miss any details?
Just all of my nostalgic memories and thoughts that I had watching the movie. I mean, there's a storyline with Doug, you know, him being like the number two. And basically for Mike, who was like really the creator of the thing, to have to, it was like Doug and Glenn Howerton's character were like the devil and angel on his
shoulder. They're like pulling,
And they're like pulling him in these two different directions. And ultimately we literally see Mike have what I called the like Julian Assange like haircut. Like his hair has changed color, now he's wearing a suit. Like we see him transform through all these time jumps by the end of the movie, and now he's become like this, what he would call at the beginning of the movie probably this evil like corporate chill, and he's fixing and he's standing there trying to fix all the storms. I had forgotten all about the BlackBerry Storm. Now I had switched over to iPhone. I remember I had the BlackBerry Bold, which was the one with the trackpad. So when they were like, we have a trackpad, I was like, oh my God, it's the one I had. And I had that for a while and it was all great. And then there was this thing that started happening, as we saw in the movie, where the network started to go down. And I think the second time it happened, the iPhone 4 had just come out, or maybe it was the 4S, because I was in between for a long time, like in between BlackBerries. In between iPhones. Once I switched to iPhone, I was kind of like in between those for a while, on the S's as opposed to like the 4 or the 5 or whatever. It doesn't matter. But I just remember it went, and I was like, I was at work. I put down my BlackBerry. It wasn't working because the network had got down again, and we saw it on the news. And I was like, I'm done with this. I'm going to get an iPhone because an iPhone is reliable. And you know, it was cooler at that point. By that time, we were already on the 4. So some of the things I didn't like about the original iPhone, about either the way it looked or the way like the texting appeared, had been kind of fixed a little bit. So I was able to make the transition. And now I felt, to find out, like from the outside, right? Like we were seeing all these outages and we're like, oh, it's just, you know, we're assuming it's either a mistake or maybe like some kind of digital blackout or something. I don't know. But to find out that in fact it was because of the way the company was run and that like all the insanity that was going on behind the scenes. Now, obviously this is dramatization, but like, I have to believe that a lot of these things that they're showing are real. And the most interesting thing I found out afterwards was like they actually had a really, really high market share in like the rest of the world, in the non-US market, and like some African and like Indonesian markets, whatever. And, you know, that was news to me. Like they were actually a big company in the rest of the world for like a little while before it seems like now they're more software. So, yeah, that was my journey of like switching from BlackBerry to iPhone.
I got a Black. I had a BlackBerry when I not my first phone. I definitely had like a Razor. I think the first smartphone I had, though, was a BlackBerry. And then I got one for work. So, yeah, I mean, it was, I actually really liked BlackBerry. I really hate that they, you know, there's a, the podcast I was talking about, Candleland, talks a lot about the thing. So there's this thing in the movie, at the end of the movie, where Jim calls somebody to try and, he's trying to make a deal about BlackBerry phones, trying to get like to, you know, buy my, I'll buy this many phones for $0, give them away for free. You have to sell them before the iPhone comes out, essentially get people stuck into having a BlackBerry. And they won't want to, they want to have it before that new iPhone comes out. And he says, the thing about minutes is there's only 1 minute in a minute. And the thing that the Apple, the first iPhones were actually not good. They the systems actually broke a lot, which is interesting that the movie does depict BlackBerry. Like that's the thing that they're most concerned about, is like crashing the system. But iPhone just tried to jam so much into their phone that the idea wasn't that people would sit with their iPhone and say, oh my God, I hate this thing. It was that they would be mad at the carriers for for not being able to deliver what their phone was supposed to do. And so what iPhone essentially did was change how phone companies. So the fact that we now buy you in your packages, you buy data, is a a thing that is as opposed to minutes, is the iPhone's doing. It essentially used data, the idea there's only 1 minute in a minute, but there is, you could have unlimited data. And so they would sell you data and then a data package, and then everything over you'd get charged for, and you'd be so addicted to your phone that we knew that people were addicted to their phones that people would do that. And so the way that Apple just came in like a bulldozer and just destroyed the market versus BlackBerry definitely did for a while, like revolutionize the phone industry. They also were a little bit, and maybe this is like, you know, the movie doesn't really get into this, but like, we are like nice Canadians who don't want to like super disrupt. There was a little bit of like BlackBerry stopped being as much of a disruptor as Apple was willing to be, which I think ultimately causes a bit of their downfall in the end, and why iPhone became popular. And then the other thing too is like BlackBerry probably would hold a market share if Google didn't come out and say, hey, we're going to be in the market as well. And I can't remember the exact thing, but there's something about the thing that Google was able to offer was the Google Play Store. There's a thing there about like your apps, like we won't even take any of the cut. You can just be on the, you know, there's a whole thing there. Yeah.
The way they run their app store that Apple is much more like stringent about.
So BlackBerry got caught up in this, in the SEC stuff, which ultimately doesn't really impact them, but then also just are not willing to like kind of like disrupt and meet the needs of people as much. And you look at some of the, like, you know, you look at the iPods and iPads and all these things, and BlackBerry kind of tried to start to follow suit, but they were like. Mike was really hung up on the wheel.
He tried to pivot. Yeah,
he pivoted way too late.
The trackpad, and then he wanted to like create the full screen version on like a whim, because he could. I mean, I meant to look this up, but I would assume that like this part is probably somewhat accurate, that he, maybe it's a dramatization, but it doesn't matter. But like in the movie, he comes up with this plan of having like a full screen BlackBerry in a meeting when he's losing the interest of like the board. I believe it's a Verizon, and it's like, it kind of makes sense because of how crappy it was. I remember using, at that point I already switched to iPhone, but I remember using someone's Storm and being like, I don't understand this. Because the idea, even when he's trying to explain it to his tech people, it's like, it's a touch screen with a keyboard on a keyboard, because the entire screen was supposed to click. And that was like what made it different. people would miss like the tactical nature of the thing. I will say, yeah,
he was wrong in that he ultimately was right
because he knew at the beginning of the movie that he shouldn't have like outsourced the making of the thing, right?
That's
but
true.
He was wrong in trying to now like make it happen because he was desperate.
Right.
The interesting thing for me was when iPhone first came out, I hated the touchscreen keypad. It just like,
yeah, me too.
It didn't feel intuitive. And I just didn't like, I mean, now, of course, whatever. We never look back after
the moment in the movie where he tells the person like, no, no, use your thumbs. And I'm like, oh yeah, that is the BlackBerry way. With my thumbs.
Wow. Yeah. Thumbs. And then like, thumbs. I remember the original BlackBerry, the BlackBerry that I like, the versions that had come up way before I got in the game, in the BlackBerry game, they had like the wheel on the side, like the BlackBerry wheel in the middle came later. It was kind of like an innovation, but like the idea that like the keyboard was on the front.
The prototype, he has it, the wheel on the side.
Yeah. People are like, you know, moving emails up and down. And the idea that that in and of itself would be innovative is crazy to me. Like, wow, well, it's a how wheel you, on the side.
But it's how you scroll through. The idea that through you would email, like swipe. Yeah. Doesn't like that come like, I mean, again, the fact that like these are things that people, you didn't swipe yet. You had to like, you had to be on the thing and then click the button that it wasn't.
We haven't yet swiped right on swiping.
That's right. So that's right. So I just quickly want to talk about Doug. I do think the thing for me about Doug,
you hated.
Yeah. Was that I felt like he was almost just as, I feel like he was more morally in line with Mike. And like the reason why he's like, there's a scene in the movie when Jim, the first day Jim comes into the office and is like, you know, trying to figure out how they're going to do all this stuff and like make a prototype and whatever. And Doug's being like, no, no. You know, I felt like Doug was sometimes arguably just as like manipulative of Mike as Jim was. It's just that Doug has a demeanor that is not as intimidating as opposed to Jim, who is this angry yelly man. But like Doug would also be yelling and like would often be talking over Mike. And that like could be years of their relationship and friendship, and that he knows that Mike wants to say no, but it does seem like at times, like Mike is the one who's like, no, we got to take this deal. You know, we need they're talking about the shark circling and he's like, yeah, but you know what sharks are afraid of, or what is the line? Pirates are afraid of sharks. He's a shark. He's like, you know what?
Pirate. Yes. Yes. They're pirates because they're coming for the whatever, and pirates are afraid of sharks.
But he's a shark. And that's used to be like, he's a shark. And he's like, yeah, but like, you know, who's afraid of sharks is pirates. That's the line.
Virginia Woolf. Yeah.
Virginia Woolf. So I didn't love Doug. I didn't think, and I get that there's like a culture of like coding and and that they would have these like movie nights and whatever. But I often thought that like, I don't know. It felt a little, I didn't love Doug. The other thing I didn't love about the movie was the way it was shot for most of the movie. And it was really I don't mind like a shaky cam style thing. I've seen it be very successful and like almost the like mockumentary, but not a mockumentary. The idea is like someone's filming this and we're getting like an inside view. What I really didn't like was how detached it often was. So it wasn't a shaky cam in the boardroom. It would be like through the window, like we're almost like across the office and then watching it. And
the
it's a stylistic choice of like we're a fly on the wall, but like we wouldn't be the fly on the wall. We're actually like sitting at the desk in the office, like watching a business meeting happen. But I found it really jarring, and I didn't think it was like effective as a choice of like being an outsider of watching this happen, but like being a really real outsider of like, you're outside, you don't even get to be in the boardroom while it happens. And so I appreciate it as a choice, but I just didn't think it worked for me. I didn't find it as thought-provoking as I found it jarring to watch, I guess, is my critique of the cinematography of the movie.
Yeah, there was a point earlier in the movie when, I think it's an early conversation between characters, between Mike and Jim, and Now I'm looking up what these people look like in real life. That's crazy.
Yeah, they're like close, but not perfect. No, Doug doesn't look like Doug. Doug doesn't look like Doug at all.
Yeah, I didn't look up. I'm looking at like Mike Lazaridis. He's like the hair. They got the hair right for how he looked in real life, but this, yeah, James Balsillie. Wow, he's okay. That's a monster. The glare thing. It was definitely my thing between Mike and Jim, where I noticed, and at first, before I realized what was happening, I was like, what am I looking at? I thought my screen was, something was wrong with like the movie screen at the theater I was at.
Yeah.
And then I realized, oh, it's the glare because the camera's on the outside because we are on the outside looking in as an audience. And then thankfully I was able to turn that part off of my brain. But maybe this is the thing that like you can't not see, you know, you can't see the high frame rates. You can't see the whatever. This is the one thing that you are not immune to.
It just didn't work for me. Again, I can appreciate Matt Johnson's choice to like to do it as
be
this
in
sort
his
of,
own
like,
movie. Well, selfishly.
Well, I felt like it was, I think the idea is like mockumentary, that it feels maybe a little bit more real to an extent to have like everybody a bit removed from what's happening in the shaky cam. Like, yeah, if there had been just a camera here, like, of course we wouldn't have been in the room or like outside. And so it feels, yeah, that's why I said The Office is my like one comp. Cause that's a little bit the way I feel. I just think it, I felt it was distracting more than it offers, a real, it added to the themes of the movie, but that's, I still really liked it. So no problem. Yeah. I guess my two things I didn't like were
and reflections of
like, were Matt Johnson's character in the movie and the cinematography choice that he made. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I guess as I'm sitting here thinking about it, for sure, Matt Johnson's character, Doug, reminded me of Mackenzie Davis's character in Halt and Catch Fire, if I'm being completely honest with myself, of like, we're fighting, like kind of just fighting. The similarity is fighting for the culture and the soul of the thing, not just the thing that they created, but the place that they have created and the place that they have created together being important to how the company runs and therefore how the product is made and manufactured and all that stuff. So I think I liked having him there as, because Mike's character for the most part until the very end, or until, I don't know, the last third, I would say, is pretty ineffectual. It's mostly Jim fighting him to get stuff he wants. Mike sometimes says no, sometimes kind of pivots or just doesn't really say anything. And by the end of the movie, he's not even talking to Doug about it. When Doug comes to him, he'd be like, why are we doing this thing? And he's kind of like, go talk to so-and-so about it, who has now been put in as like a go-between.
Yeah, there's that guy. I don't remember his name.
Yeah, he was played by that other actor who we always know. And this movie is like a who's who of who's that.
There's a guy from Mad Men in there.
Yes, Rich Sommer. Him I do know because, mm-hmm. Mad Men. So he's great at being the guy who, takes at least as far as the movie presents it, the first guy who takes that like back optioning, back dating of like stock options that the FCC, SEC gets them for. So
there's a funny one with Sungwon Cho, who plays the second guy. When they have this conversation, they're like, I don't know if I should say how much you're making. He's like, I'm making $10 million. Like, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
This is wild, right? That they're paying us this much money.
Yes, it's completely wild that they were like burning through money just to hire these people to get these products doing something that people would want so that then they could sell it. But meanwhile, it's kind of all the way Jim is running the company. No, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing, and he's like selling the promise of the thing and actual units of the thing before the thing is even done. And
there's a scene where he's like, Mike is like, don't sell any more Blackberries, and Jim goes and sells like 500,000 Blackberries,
and he tells his sales team like they need to sell a million by so and so, or he's gonna fire them all, like,
right? Yeah, I mean, I I did like the tension of the movie, the like actual plot of the movie, the points that they picked, like they run through basically 10, 12 years over the course of the movie. I thought all of that worked really well. I do think, to the point of like Mike is ineffectual, I do think he was conflicted with this idea. There's the moment when he says, I'm only going to build the perfect prototype, right? And then they spend all night making the perfect prototype, which is supposed to take a year. Like, but for the most part, he holds true to specific principles he has until he absolutely can't, right? Like until he needs to outsource the manufacturing to China. Right. And then he goes down to the basement and tries to fix each individual. That's like the last shot of the movie is him like trying to fix each individual humming that's in the phone. I feel like that's, you know, I'm somebody who like, I work like a 9 to 5 and I feel like I have, you know, principles, but I, you know, if I don't compromise on stuff, then like, you know, it's, I'm not being an effective, you know, worker at my organization. Mm-hmm. So, but like, but then if you can stay true to your like super core principles, like to me, that's the most important. I kind of feel like that's, I really liked Mike Lazar and you know, Jay Baruchel in the performance.
Performance. I agree. I
that was really good. Yeah.
Just as far as characters, I thought the Doug and the Jim were the most effective for me. And just the idea that the movie is as effective and entertaining as it is, even if you know what's going to happen, like there is an element of like you're finding out. And I was talking about this before when I was switching from like my BlackBerry to iPhone thing, when everything was going down and we knew the networks were going down and everything we saw in the news, but like the idea of the reveal here of what is actually going on and that they could craft the story, you know, it's like anytime they make a biopic or historical something, it's like, okay, how can we make this entertaining while still sticking to true history and have people engaged? And it's pretty impressive how efficient it is.
Yeah. Overall. They leave stuff out, but I think for the most part, they get the important pieces right about why BlackBerry failed. So I thought it was really good. Also F the guy from Palm Pilot, F that guy. That guy sucks.
Yeah. Carrie, I believe it's played by Carrie Elwes.
Yankowski.
Yankowski. That's right.
Sorry if your name is Yankowski, but what they
all Yankowskis out there. Yeah. I wave my fist at you. But so many like little roles, there are no small roles. So many shorter, more contained roles for some of these bigger actors, a lot of fun. And it seemed like they were all having fun. And you know, Grace, I love when I can tell that people are having fun. I'm always having fun.
Yeah, agreed. Well, I had fun on this podcast with you. This was fun chatting through BlackBerry.
Wow.
I think I just sent
an email to you. I don't know if you got it.
I hope it's encrypted. All right. Ariel, what else you got going on? What else you talking about? What else you doing?
I am covering Dark with you and our friend DM Philly, the Netflix show that we love so much. We're about to be in the last season and I'm devastated. Also covering movies around here with you as always every week, and covering Grey's Anatomy with Chappelle once a month.
Very fun.
So that's as unhinged as it sounds. I'm on Twitter at that other Ariel.
I'm covering Succession, doing the immediate recap. You can watch on youtube.com/postshowrecaps with Jess and Josh. And then I do the deep dives with Dr. Amanda and guests along the way. Do the immediate early buzz pod with Jess Sterling for Yellow Jackets. And Dark as well. Next week, Ariel, it's a big one. It's a big one. We're about to get into block. I feel like this is, Guardians was a blockbuster, but another blockbuster, Fast X, AKA Fast 10, comes out. I think we're going to have a very fun guest, always hesitant to say, because.
Is it Vin Diesel? Don't tell me.
It's family, man.
Are we going to watch Fast X on 10X speed live on the podcast?
No, because the movie theater will yell at me for asking to speed
if we're
up the
movie. Changing the front time for the entire audience.
You know what? I'm going to say it, because this person messaged me and was like, I love the Fast and the Furious movies. I am currently making my way through all the Fast and the Furious movies. I'm currently on, I finished Fast and Furious 6. So I have technically 3 more. I might try to watch Hobbs and Shaw, but maybe not.
You don't need to. I saw that.
But Jason Reed is a huge Fast and Furious fan, and wow. hopefully all things go well, will be joining us on the pod for Fast X, Fast 10, your seatbelts for that movie.
Grace, they should 10 out of 10X.
Thanks. All right, we'll be back next week with more movie coverage, hopefully joined by Jason Reed to talk about car movies, Jess Sterling's least favorite thing. Anyway, we'll be back. Yeah. Until then, I'm Grace, that's Ariel, and we are Puerto Rico Theater.